Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
I am Mark Clifton, and this is Mark Halleck sitting across from me over there.
Yo.
How you doing, Mark?
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to be here.
Oh,
good
man.
To be here.
Where are we, by the way?
We are in the basement of the Calvary Church in Inglewood, Colorado.
I will say, this is our favorite basement.
It is our favorite
you
basement.
You got to admit it. I mean, this is a great basement.
But we're not on a dirty old white couch anymore.
No, no. It got removed.
They hauled the white couch out and gave it away to some other youth group somewhere. And we got a black couch.
That's right.
So I'm on
it's
a
little,
black couch.
A little nicer, a little more comfy.
A little more comfortable, but here we are. Yeah. And hey, today we are going to talk, oh, I love this. This is, again, thank you, Dr. Tom Rayner. Thank you very much, Mr. Rayner.
Yes. Give him a hand.
Give him a hand, yeah. He has done this research and did a great job of it. Really looking at 30 years ago compared to now.
Hmm.
Now, 30 years ago, I was in my prime, all right? I was 34 years old.
34.
I've been going downhill ever since, right?
You were stunning.
I peaked at 34.
Hey, what was your hair like when
my
you were 34?
My hair was bleach blonde.
Bleach blonde.
Bright bleach blonde, all the way to the roots. Like, what happened was we were living.
Did you have an earring?
Yeah, I had at least one or
at
two.
At least a couple.
Yeah, we lived in Montreal, and down the street from us was my wife's hairdresser. And she would go down there and get her hair done, and I need to get my hair cut done one time. And she said, you need to just go down there and let him do it. And I said, oh, if I go down there, he'll dye my hair blonde. She said, I dare you. All righty, baby. So we went down there, and we got that dyed blonde.
You were the hip, cool church planner.
I was the hip, cool church planner. I had blue glasses, blue tinted glasses, little tiny ones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the little blonde goatee.
You bet.
And I had bleach blonde hair.
Dude,
like,
this is like
white.
True 90s, man.
All right,
early 90s.
Had a little stud earring going on there, you know, a little blood dripping down from the earring hole.
What did your dad think about
my
this
mom
look?
Told me, she said, if you're going to bury me, have my funeral, you got to take that earring out. My dad would just look at me and shake his head. Anyway,
utter disappointment.
I peaked at age 34.
Okay,
after
34.
Then, it's been all downhill.
Downhill.
But 30 years ago, where were you 30 years ago?
Let's see, 30 years ago, I was 17. I was a junior in high school.
All right.
I was a junior in high school, playing basketball.
Yeah.
Dreaming about playing professional basketball, which never happened.
Yeah.
But in Wyoming.
Yeah. All right.
So I had one more year. I had my senior year left.
Were you dating a girl?
So, I don't know if I was. Never had a real serious relationship in high school.
Really?
But I was a Christian, though, man.
Okay.
The Lord had saved me, so I was following Jesus and living in
That's
Wyoming.
That's interesting. You were 17 30 years ago. I was 34 30 years ago. Half.
There it is. Half and
Ooh,
half.
There's something. Are you in the... Yeah. Okay.
You would have been the cool guy I would have looked up to and wanted to disciple me. Man, there's this guy, Mom. Seriously, he's got this cool bleached hair and an earring.
Oh, yeah. Blue glasses.
And he loves Jesus. It's
he loves
awesome.
Jesus. Yes, that's right. Okay, so 30 years ago. Where were you all 30 years ago? Think about where you were. Some of you were just born 30 years ago. But here we go. 30 years ago, most people in the congregation held the pastor in really high esteem. That is true. Rayner says, I can't offer precise numbers, but there's little doubt that as a rule, people do not view pastors with the same esteem they did 30 years ago.
Well, that's true.
And that is so true. Now, let me give you some reasons why I think that is. I think some of us have failed miserably publicly.
Mm.
And, you know, I think...
And with social media...
Yeah.
There's no hiding.
And look, I think the culture and to some degree, even our church people, I mean, when Jim Baker failed, pastors failed. When Jimmy Swaggart failed, pastors failed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing of such vision back about 30 years ago, such absolute visual, high-profile televangelists who had these huge, ridiculous scandals certainly put a stain on everybody. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, just like every week or every day you see some pastor who's had a moral failure or gotten arrested for something. And you get how people begin now to look at us not with great respect, but like with, are you one of those?
Yeah, that's right.
Can I really trust you?
Yeah.
You know, I trusted that pastor and he failed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
so
right.
I think it's really, and I agree with Rayner, that's one of the major reasons serving as a pastor is becoming increasingly difficult.
Mm.
Many of us think that we should be held in high esteem. Many of us don't realize that we are not held in high esteem.
Yeah, boy, that's true.
And so if we go into the pastorate knowing, look, they didn't really, we're going to have to earn this esteem.
Yeah,
and some
yeah.
of us, sometimes we may never get it.
Yep.
But we're not in it for esteem.
Yeah.
We're in it to be ministers of the gospel, sharing the good news, discipling people, but we're not going to have the high esteem.
And it doesn't matter how many degrees you've got. It doesn't matter where you went to school.
You know, I was at Warnell Road Baptist Church in Kansas City from 2006 to, I don't know, 15 for 10 years or so, replanting it. But back in the 50s and 60s, Warnell Road was a very, very influential, affluent church, not just in Southern Baptist life, but really in North America. And they had a couple of pastors that were really well known. One of them became a psychologist, one of the first really Christian psychologists. I can't think of his name right now. But check this out. So I'm in that office at Warnell Road one day looking through a bunch of old files, and I pull out, are you ready for this? A Life magazine from the 1950s. Life magazine in the 1950s, I don't think I can explain to you how important that was. Everybody read Life magazine in the 1950s. Not everybody had television, but everybody read Life magazine. If you were in Life magazine, that was as big a deal as it could
be. It was a
big
deal, yeah.
They had a story, a full story, a full printout, a full photo layout of this pastor from Warnell Road. And the title of the story in Life magazine was A Day in the Life of an Average Pastor.
No way.
And it was all positive about how hard he worked, how many people he talked to, how many lives he encountered. This was the major secular magazine in North America in the 1950s. And they did this amazing promo piece on just a day in the life of an American pastor. Dude, that ain't happening
again. No. No, that's
and so here anymore. You could be the pastor of a Baptist church, and you were held in high esteem.
That's right.
Nope.
Not anymore.
Not any longer. Not Number anymore. Two, leadership skills are acquired more today than they were 30 years ago. Rainer says this, 30 years ago, I could preach sermons well and care for the congregation, and I would be deemed at least an adequate pastor. That's so true.
Yeah.
If you could just care for people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what my dad said one time. I'm at Warnell, and he's been pastoring for 50 years, but he's retired now, and he and my mom are coming to my church. My dad was successful wherever he pastored. He only had really three churches in his whole life, and they all doubled in size. So beyond that, he raised up a lot of pastors and started churches, so he was very successful in ministry. My dad told me one day, he said, Mark, I could never be a pastor today. I said, Dad, you were one of the greatest preachers and certainly one of the greatest interpersonal relationships. He never forgot a name. He never forgot a face. He loved visiting people. He loved gracious. He was hospitable. He knew how to share Jesus. He said, no, I could do all of that. He said, but I never once sat in my church office in my 40 or 50 years of ministry and asked myself this one basic question. How do I do church? He said, I just did it. We just had Sunday school. And we got our literature from the Sunday School Board. We had morning worship, and it was the same every week.
Yep.
We sang from the same hymnal. I preached Sunday morning. Sunday night, we had church training, and that was material came from the Sunday School Board. Mm-hmm. And I preached on Sunday nights. We had RAs and GAs. We had a week of vacation Bible school, 2 weeks of revival. Just did it year after year, and God blessed. He said, I wouldn't even know where to begin today.
Wow.
And Tom is right. Huh. 30 years ago, you didn't need that many skills.
Wow.
Because the expectations and the demands of a pastor are so much higher today. You have internet skills. You have to work on a website. You have to do Instagram. Do you know how to go Facebook? Do you know how to deal with people who are dealing with all kinds of addictive problems and other kinds of things like that? Interpersonal issues. As he said 30 years ago, if I could preach some good sermons, shepherds and folks, that was considered adequate.
It's almost like there was this agreed upon, plan. Like this is, and you just work the plan, right? I mean, you, like we said, you preach, you do this, the you get the material. And boy, that is so true. That is just not there anymore.
What do I do now? What do we do for Sunday school? What do we do for small groups? What do we do for music? What do we do for youth? What do we do for women's ministry? What do we do for men's ministry?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do any of it. I mean, you've got to have so much more right now. Number three, Rainer says interpersonal skills are more important today than they were 30 years ago. This is why he says this, and I agree. He and I are old enough to remember this. 30 years ago, a pastor could get away with some personality quirks because they were held in high esteem. No more. you've got to be able to relate perfectly to everyone.
Mm.
30 years ago, if you were sort of a standoffish person, you know, we still love our pastor. He's a good pastor. Or if you every now and then, you know, invaded some personal space, talked a little too close, a little too loud, well, that's just our brother. You know, he's kind of that way. And, you know, he tells a lot of jokes. But today, because you're not held in high esteem, you don't have any margin.
Wow, interesting.
You almost have
There's
to
not
be,
as much grace toward
Not as much
the pastor.
Grace.
Yeah.
So you got to have a lot more interpersonal skills.
Wow.
Number four. Go ahead. What is it, Mark?
Outreach was accomplished by getting people to come to church services 30 years ago. This is not so today. So again, he says, I remember some of the classic outreach ministries I led 30 years ago. They were all designed to get people to visit church services as a first step. Today, many barriers must be addressed in order for someone to be receptive to come to our churches. So in other words, there's been a shift from a real attractional model,
mm-hmm.
come and see, come to us, to a go and tell, right? A missional approach. Because people just aren't that impressed. Like you, like we've talked about this before. In our cities, you're always going to have a handful of mega churches that just, man, their money, they can just pull this off. The problem is most of us can't pull that off. Like we're not attractive in those in worldly ways, right? And so if you try to play that game, man, you're dead meat.
No.
And you're gonna be super discouraged.
Right. And there was a time 30 years ago when parents wanted their kids in church.
Yeah.
You've heard me say before, in the 1970s, we did bus ministry. Mm. And so you show up at church on Saturday morning, you paint up a bunch of old school buses of bright color. You take a bunch of guys and girls and men and women, and you go out to some park someplace, take a whole box full of bazooka bubble gum, and go up to kids you don't know and say, how would you like to ride our bus to church Sunday?
It's insane to think about.
And the parents say, well, that's a pretty good idea. And so you show up at their house the next Sunday morning, you knock on their doorbell at 9 o'clock, and some mom sends some little 9-year-old or 8-year-old little girl all by herself onto a bus with a bunch of men and some other women and drives off. And maybe 4 hours later, she comes back.
Wow.
That ain't happening anymore.
No.
First of all, it happened anymore for a variety of reasons that we didn't understand, but also because parents don't necessarily want their kids in church anymore.
That's right, exactly.
They want them to be able to choose their own path. And
great point.
Churches are places of bigot and hate speech.
That's right.
So the idea that we can put on Vacation Bible School or we can put on an event and people will show up at it, no more attractional.
That's right.
And we don't know how to be anything but attractional.
No, I know.
And the trouble was we weren't very good at being attractional either. So.
Wow, wow.
Okay, number five. Go ahead.
Okay, 30 years ago, there were very few, quote-unquote, nuns. And here's what he says about that. The 2012 Pew Research Project that identified 20% of all American adults as non-religiously affiliated has become a marker of change. Almost all people claimed some type of religious affiliation 30 years ago, whether they were believers or not. It was not culturally accepted to be a nun 30 years ago. There's no cultural stigma attached today.
So 30 years ago, if you moved into a community and you were going to be the principal of the middle school, you'd probably join somebody's church.
Just because it would be perceived as a negative thing. Like, it wouldn't be a good thing.
No, you might, you know, I'm not picking on them, but you might join the Presbyterian church.
Yeah, sure,
And you might just
Methodist
go a few times a year.
Yeah.
But you attend a church somewhere, maybe you join or not, but you felt like there was a cultural bias that said, if you're not connected to a church, you know, the only president to be baptized in office was Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Eisenhower was a believer in Christ. Other people have made that clear, but his mother was Jehovah's Witness, and he had a very deep and abiding affection for his mother, and he would defend her and say, "Look, her faith has sustained her. I'm not going to criticize her faith." You know, because Jehovah's Witnesses are pacifists, and so people would say, "How could the general of the Allied armies be?"
He
defended his mother, but he gets elected president in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's America like in 1952? I mean, we're talking Billy Graham is on the upswing, all this, right? That's when that Life magazine came out about the pastor. So you got a president and people realize he's not a member of a church and never been baptized. This can't happen. 2 days after his inauguration, he walked to the nearest little Presbyterian church near the White House and was baptized.
Wow.
Because you can't have a president not be a
member. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a cultural bias that said, if you're an American, you're a Christian. Now, that's not good. I'm not suggesting we want to go back to that. Don't get all my Christian national people all riled up. Just keep it to yourself. But the point Rainer is making here is that 30 years ago, no one would say I'm nothing. It would culturally not be, there would be a stigma attached to that. Every single day that passes, more and more people are saying, I am nothing.
That's right.
Now, on the one hand, that opens tremendous doors for evangelism.
Right.
But on the other hand, that's such a new phenomenon for many of our churches, we don't know how to function in that world. We just assume everybody has some faith.
Yeah.
And what do you do with people who say, I've got none?
Got none.
And that's a brand new thing. All right, number the last one. What's it say?
The internet and social media have made pastoring much more challenging than it was 30 years ago.
Read what he says.
He says this, in many ways, it has been healthy that the pastors and their ministries are more transparent. For example, sex abuse of children in churches became a national concern when many priests and pastors were named as sexual predators. But there is no rule that someone must speak truthfully on the internet and specifically in social media. Pastors today must deal with issues about them that travel fast on the internet, even if a church member or someone else tells a complete lie.
Okay, yeah, you could have, my dad could have a church split. He didn't, but let's say my dad had a church split in 1970. Nobody outside of that community is going to know about
it. That's right, nobody.
You got a church split today, somebody's going to come up with a with a Facebook group of mad people, and they're going to, and it's going to be out there, and it's going to be in the public. Right?
That's right.
I mean,
there's no escaping it. Yeah.
And so if someone gets mad at you about something, they're going to put it on social media. They're going to, and as Rainer says, what are you going to do? I mean, it could be a total lie, and you got all that out there. So it's a different world in that sense than it used to be. And we're going to have to understand, we got to be more wise about that.
Right.
And we got to know how to deal with that. And we got to know how to make that reality part of our day-to-day existence and not just ignore it because it's not going away.
Yeah.
Well, these are some wonderful insights about what it means to be a pastor today as opposed to 30 years ago when Mark was 17 and I was 34.
The cool church planner.
Yeah, I know. A cool church planner.
It'll be interesting to see 30 years from now, what will they be saying?
Well, I will be 94 if the Lord allows.
That's right. That's right. Because things are changing, man. Things are changing.
You know, I should probably end this by singing the Frank Sinatra song, When I Was 17.
Sing it, man.
No, I shouldn't. Have you heard the lyrics?
We haven't sung in a
while. We don't want to know those lyrics.
Some people like our singing.
I can't sing it.
Most people don't.
Don't look it up even.
Okay. It was a great idea.
It was a great idea for a minute because you were 17.
But we're going to pass.
When I was 17, it was a very... But we can't go there.
Okay. That's good enough.
I don't know. Now they'll unsubscribe. Please don't unsubscribe. I promise we won't sing any more songs like that ever. Hey, check us out at churchreplanters.com. Let us know how we can help you. Subscribe to the podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.